people in London mark International Quds Day to show solidarity with Palestinians facing Israel's decades-long occupation and atrocities. Yemen warns Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates that violating a UN brokered truce will trigger a painful response. Also ahead, French voters cast the ballots in the presidential runoff election. Incumbent Emmanuel Macron faces his far-right rival Marine Le Pen. Thank you for joining us. Our top story this hour, people take to the streets of the British capital, London, to mark International Quds Day. They have expressed solidarity with Palestinians who face an intensifying Israeli crackdown. The demonstrators gathered in front of the Home Office from where they marched towards Downing Street. They called for international action, including sanctions to end Israel's occupation of Palestinian territories and its growing aggression. Among the protesters were Jews who denounced the Israeli atrocities and torched its flag. Back in 1979, the late founder of Iran's Islamic Republic, Imam Khomeini, designated the last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan as International Quds Day. The occasion is observed on the last Sunday of Ramadan. In some countries, including the UK, this weekend, Quds Day rallies are also planned in the US, Australia, and Canada. The United Nations is demanding impartial, independent investigations into escalating violence in occupied Palestine. The spokeswoman for the UN Human Rights Office is gravely concerned about the growing atrocities and the excessive use of force by the Israeli military. Ravina Shamdasani says numerous videos have raised serious concerns about the conduct of the Israelis, which is widespread, unnecessary, and indiscriminate. According to the official, many Palestinians have been beaten, shot with sponge-tipped bullets, and sustained serious injuries. Over the past month, Israeli forces have killed and wounded scores of Palestinians and arrested hundreds in the occupied territories, including at the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound.
Violence at the Al-Aqsa compound has surged during the fasting month of Ramadan. It all began when dozens of Israeli military forces stormed into the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound in the occupied Old City of Al-Quds and restricted the entry of Palestinian worshippers into the Flashpoint holy site to secure the incursion of hundreds of extremist settlers to mark the Passover holiday. Regime forces assaulted Muslim worshippers inside prayer halls while protecting the Israeli settlers desecrating Islam's third holiest site. So far, at least 19 Palestinians have been killed, while hundreds more have been injured in clashes with Israeli forces. This has raised concerns about a slide back into the wider Israeli-Palestinian conflict, like the one in May last year when frequent acts of violence against Palestinian worshippers at Al-Aqsa Mosque led to an 11-day war between Palestinian resistance groups in the besieged Gaza Strip and the Israeli regime. But why is the Al-Aqsa compound a central point of contention in the issue of Palestine? Israel-occupied East Al-Quds, where Al-Aqsa is located, during the 1967 Arab-Israeli War. It annexed the entire city in 1980 in a move never recognized by the international community. The illegal Israeli control of East Al-Quds, including the Old City, violates several principles of international law, which outlines that an occupying power does not have sovereignty in the territory it occupies. Following Israel's occupation of East Al-Quds, a delicate status quo was agreed upon, with Jordan giving Muslims the sole right to pray at Al-Aqsa and Jews at the nearby Western Wall. However, Palestinians accuse Israel of restricting Muslim worship at Al-Aqsa while not doing enough to enforce the ban on Jewish prayer at the compound and even protecting the violators. The ensuing Israeli aggression against Palestinians at the Al-Aqsa compound is a flagrant violation of the status quo. Next, what has the international community done to put an end to Israeli violence against Palestinians? Well, the regime in Tel Aviv continues its crimes with total impunity, and the international community is silent, except for a few words of caution. The United Nations believes it suffices to express deep concern over the worsening security situation in the occupied Palestinian territories, saying it will probe into the use of force at Al-Aqsa. But is that enough? Perhaps the world's largest and most familiar international organization is too busy, preoccupied, or distracted with the Russia-Ukraine war, but the issue of Palestine deserves the same, if not more, attention since it has been ongoing for several decades.
Israel's latest aggression towards Palestinians and the desecration of the Holy Mosque have drawn condemnations and triggered protests around the world. Events have been held to warn about Israel's naked aggression against peaceful worshippers and voice concerns over what they call the criminal silence of Muslim countries and the international community.
Thousands of people across the globe have taken to the streets to deplore Israeli violence against Palestinians at the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound and elsewhere in the occupied territories, as the regime in Tel Aviv continues its crimes in Palestine. In Pakistan, thousands of people took part in rallies after Friday prayers in major cities, denouncing the Israeli attacks on Palestinian worshippers in Al-Aqsa Mosque as naked terrorism and urging Islamic countries to intervene immediately to protect the sacred site and Palestinian lives. Also in Bangladesh, thousands of people demonstrated against the Israeli onslaught. Elsewhere in Jordan, the protesters called for the expulsion of the Israeli ambassador and Amman's withdrawal from the Jordan-Israeli peace treaty signed in 1994. Pro-Palestinian rallies, however, have not been limited to Muslim-majority countries. Rallies were held in the US as well as European capitals such as Amsterdam, London, and Berlin. The protesters called for international action, including sanctions to end the Israeli occupation of Palestinian territories and the regime's growing aggression.
And so we're on a continuous upward trend, a continuous upward surge in support for Palestine and support for the boycott and isolation of the Israeli occupation and in standing with the Palestinian resistance.
More protests have been organized in other countries worldwide. One of the many online websites promoting resistance against Israel is Samidun, Palestinian Prisoner Solidarity Network, which has urged all Palestinian, Arab, and international supporters of Palestine to organize events and confront Israeli massacres and ethnic cleansing, events which are held by different organizations around the world.
The Saudi-led coalition is refusing to authorize commercial flights out of Yemen's capital despite a ceasefire agreement in place. National carrier Yemenia says the first commercial flight from Sana'a in 6 years has now been indefinitely postponed. The plane was due to take patients in need of medical treatment to Jordan's capital, Amman. The arrangement was part of a two-month UN-mediated truce between Yemen's Ansar Allah movement and the Saudi-led coalition in early April. The airport in Sana'a has been closed to commercial traffic since August 2016, when airstrikes by the Saudi-led coalition disrupted the service to the city. Hundreds of thousands of Yemenis have lost their lives directly and indirectly due to the war and the blockade that Saudi Arabia and its allies started 7 years ago. The country is crippled by poverty, hunger, and disease, with more than 70% of the population in need of humanitarian assistance. Meanwhile, Yemen's Ansar Allah movement has warned Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates of a painful response if they further undermine a UN-brokered truce. Spokesman Mohammed Abdussalam says the coalition is mobilizing its forces on the Maghreb front, adding that Yemeni armed forces and the popular committees are ready to counter any hostile act. Ansar Allah and the Saudi-led coalition agreed to a two-month truce early this month. The ceasefire has been fragile, however, amid sporadic reports of Saudi attacks on Yemen. Ansar Allah officials also say the coalition continues to violate the terms of the agreement by seizing Yemeni fuel ships and obstructing flights out of Sana'a Airport. Yemeni activist and political commentator Hossein Al-Bukhaiti says the Saudi-led coalition has repeatedly violated the truce that came into effect earlier this month, but the United Nations has only expressed concern without any action.
Still, the Saudi artillery shall continue in some areas in the border between Sana'a and Yemen. That's why I believe if the just imagine we about 24 days has gone from this truce, and Saudi did not allow any flight to come or to go out of Sana'a. The agreement said that two flights a week will come to Sana'a. This means that the Saudi till now are actually is the one who obstructing this truce, and the United Nations, especially the UN envoy to Yemen, he should be cleared and he should pinpoint who is actually obstructing this truce. But I've seen his latest statement about half an hour ago. He said that they feel concerned about the latest news about that a flight that was supposed to Sana'a was cancelled. I mean, United Nations, their statement is all about concern. But as soon as Sana'a will respond to the Saudi breach of this truce or attack Saudi Arabia, we will see all-out condemnation from the United Nations and from other country who is actually making profit from this war against Yemen.
In France, polls are now open with incumbent President Emmanuel Macron and his far-right rival Marine Le Pen fighting a final duel in the race for the top job. Some 49 million French are eligible to vote in the hotly contested runoff, with opinion polls predicting Macron to come out the winner. A victory will make him the first French president to be re-elected in two decades. But Macron says that's not final and has pleaded with voters to turn out in large numbers to avert a shock shift to the far right. That's amid Le Pen's insistence that opinion polls giving Macron the lead would be proved wrong. The two also faced off in 2017 elections when Macron won by a decisive margin. Russian forces keep pounding cities and towns in southern and eastern Ukraine, with the war now in its third month. The biggest battle revolves around the southeastern port city of Mariupol, where Russia has resumed its assault on the last Ukrainian forces holed up inside a giant steel plant. President Zelensky has warned that peace talks with Moscow would be suspended if his soldiers are killed. Meanwhile, in the eastern Lugansk region, Ukrainian officials say Russian strikes on the village of Grisk have killed six civilians. Local officials also say eight people, including a three-month-old baby, lost their lives when Russia fired cruise missiles at the city of Odessa. But Russia says its forces destroyed a logistics terminal in the Black Sea port, where a large batch of U.S. and EU weapons were being stored. Moscow also says it struck several arms depots in the northeastern Kharkiv and another central region overnight. Iran has reported its lowest daily tally of COVID deaths since the pandemic began, with only 13 fatalities registered in the over the past 24 hours. According to the health ministry, out of the total 31 provinces, 21 reported no fatalities. Eight provinces registered one death each, and the rest logged five fatalities altogether. Newly daily infections were 528, one of the lowest also in the past months. Iran has largely contained COVID thanks to a mass vaccination program. Almost 70% of the population have received two doses of a vaccine. Nearly 32% have received a third shot too. The government opened schools and universities this month after more than 2 years. And Iranians are marking Laylatul Qadr, or the Night of Destiny, the occasion when the Holy Quran was revealed to the Prophet of Islam some 14 centuries ago. Yusuf Jalali has this report from the Holy Shrine of Imam Reza, the 8th Shia Imam in Iran's city of Mashhad.
praying in supplication and making the best of wishes. That's what Muslims do every year on Laylatul Qadr, or the Night of Destiny. It's a night when the Holy Book of Quran is believed to have been revealed to Prophet Muhammad. And to Muslims, it's a once-in-a-year occasion to reach out to God to wash away their sins and fulfill their wishes.
We are marking the sacred Nights of Destiny. It's a great honor to be able to attend this holy occasion. I pray for the well-being of my family and all fellow Muslims.
The Night of Destiny is the night when our wishes come true if we attend the ceremony and pray to God, as it is a night when God has said in the Quran that angels descend from heaven to listen to our wishes.
Mashhad is one of the hot spots of Laylatul Qadr ceremonies, since it is home to the shrine of the 8th Imam of Shia Muslims, Imam Reza, who is one of the descendants of the Prophet of Islam. Every year on this night, the shrine gets jam-packed with pilgrims, or they keep vigil while praying.
The holy shrine of Imam Reza is like our home, as we regard Imam Reza as a loving father for all of us Shia Muslims. You can attend Laylatul Qadr ceremonies anywhere, but here, spirituality is at its peak.
No exact date is provided for the Night of Destiny, but all Islamic references are unanimous that the Quran was revealed to the Prophet on one of three different dates, the 19th, the 21st, or the 23rd night of the holy month of Ramadan. Now this is the third Night of Destiny.
Muslims never miss out on Laylatul Qadr, as they truly believe that on this night, God determines their destiny for the upcoming year based on their wishes. Now, as this is the last and most probable night of the Quran's revelation to the Prophet, worshippers here keep on their whispers with God until dawn. Yusuf Jalali from the Holy Shrine of Imam Reza in Mashhad.
And that brings an end to our bulletin for this hour. Thank you for staying tuned.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Listeners Special. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this Sunday, April 24th, 2022. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So, as usual, please contact us and tell us what you think about IRIB English radio programs. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. Or if you have any message for our listeners around the world, then you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Please do remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. And here, as yesterday, April 23rd, corresponding with 21st of Ramadan, was the martyrdom anniversary of the Commander of the Faithful and the first infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, Imam Ali, peace upon him. Here, we extend our condolences to you on this tragic day. And for your information, tonight might be the night of Qadr or ordainment. The night of Qadr, as you know, is the night of mercy, goodness and blessing till the rising of dawn. It is the best night of the year. According to narrations, the earth is filled with angels and the fate of all creatures is determined for the next year. Please pray for us, dear listeners around the world. So may Allah accept our prayers and wishes on this great night. And as usual, we've received many emails and letters from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here. And later during the program, I will read these emails and letters. But for the time being, here we've received some reception reports from around the world, including reception reports from Kurt Ettlinger from Germany, Ding Lu from China, and Olof Ratovara from Finland. As you know, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers, because these reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. So all of you who have sent us a reception report will be receiving an EQSL card from us. So here I do extend my appreciations to Olof Ratovara from Finland, Ding Lu from China, and Kurt Ettlinger from Germany for sending us reception reports. And as you know, Mohammed Khaku from the US has sent us an email. Mohammed Khaku is one of our old and regular listeners. Also from India, we've received an email from Madhab Chandra Sagur. From Japan, we've received from our old and regular listeners, from Toshiki Tesuboy. From the US again, we've received an email from Bill McDavid, and Alan Gale from the UK has sent us an email. Please stay with IRIB English Radio and listeners special. We come back with these great emails and letters. So, Madhab Chandra Sagur from India has sent us an email. He or she says, "Dear IRIB English Radio, a few days ago, I had the opportunity to listen to your broadcast in English. The intro music was so soothing and the reception in my place, Paragonas, India, was good. At the time of listening, the strong signal reached my area. I hope you find my reception report to be of some use. If the details are correct, please verify with a printed EQSL card. Thank you in advance. Salam and warmest greetings to you, Madhab Chandra Sagur from India. And many thanks for sending us this email. It seems that you've already joined IRIB English Radio. This is your radio. Let this mutual relationship between us and you continue. Madhab Chandra Sagur from India. Write us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon, and we are looking forward to hearing your views about IRIB English Radio programs. So my colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card, an electronic QSL card, as a confirmation. Yes, the details you sent were correct. We verify it by sending an electronic QSL card to you as a confirmation. So, Mohammed Khaku from the US, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us a message, an email. Mohammed says, "We just made it through the first 15 days of Ramadan, the days of mercy. Alhamdulillah, it is truly a mercy that many of us are finally able to feel a sense of normalcy as COVID lays low this Ramadan. Salam and warm greetings to you, Mohammed Khaku from the US. Please accept our appreciations to you for sending us this email. As you said, things are going, actually things, I mean, regarding the coronavirus, and this disease are going to normal in this month, the month of Ramadan, which is the month of mercy. So we hope that this Ramadan, everything bad in the world, including the COVID-19, comes to an end. So Muhammad Khaku from the U.S., thank you very much for sending us this message, and thank you very much for your prayers and wishes. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio. We wish you all the best. Thank you very much. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card as a confirmation. So after a short break, I will be back with an email from Japan from Toshiki Tsubo. Stay with us, please. Welcome back. Toshiki Tsubo from Japan has sent us an email. Toshiki says, "Dear IRIB staff, my name is Toshiki Tsubo and I am a student who loves broadcast listening and DXing. Yesterday, I listened to your English broadcast and I'd like to send you a reception report. I also send an MP3 file that I record your broadcast. I feel very grateful if you accept this and send me a QSL card or an EQSL card." Salam and warm greetings to you, Toshiki Tsubo from Japan, and thank you very much for sending us this email. So you like broadcast listening and DXing, and that's great. Toshiki Tsubo from Japan, why don't you tell us your views about IRIB English radio programs in an upcoming email? Yes, we are waiting for that. Yes, my colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL card or EQSL card as a confirmation. And thank you for attaching MP3 file of our broadcast. So we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Toshiki Tsubo from Japan. Again, from the U.S., we've received an email from one of our old and regular listeners, from Bill McDevitt. Bill says, "Dear staff, greetings from Florida. I'm listening on the new frequencies as an updated on your website. The season is changing from winter to summer here. As a result, reception of your station and many others is difficult at this time. As the season progresses into summer, your signals will gradually improve. Noise levels, static at this time of the year, are strong throughout the daytime hours in North America. I will keep you posted as to your signal levels as we get into summer. My wife and I are cyclists, bicycles, not motorcycles. We travel all around North America during summer months, riding various trails. We have road trails in 20 states so far. I look forward to hearing your English program again on IRIB World Service. Best regards." Salam and warmest greetings to you, Bill McDevitt from the U.S., and please accept our gratitudes for sending us this great email. So we are so happy that you're listening on the new frequencies as updated on the website, and as you said, the reception of your stations and many others is good. As you said, the signals is improving because we are going from winter to the warm season, and that's great. So you're receiving strong signals during the daytime hours in your region in North America, and that's good. We are so happy for that. So thank you for sharing your information about your hobbies. As you said, you like cycling, you and your wife are cyclists, you like riding on bicycles, and you travel all around North America during summer months, riding various trails, and that's great. Wish you the best. We also are looking forward to hearing from you, Bill McDevitt from the U.S. We are waiting for, of course, your views about IRIB English radio programs. Write to us soon. And after a short break, I will be back with an email from Alan Gale. So stay with us, please. Thank you. Yes, Alan Gale from the UK has sent us an email. Alan says to all the staff at IRIB English Radio, may you have a blessed and enjoyable Ramadan, and thank you for all your services and the work you put into them throughout the year. In the UK, a number of special short-term radio licenses are issued throughout the month of Ramadan, and these go under the name of Radio Ramadan. There is one in the nearby town of Oldham. One of these operate on special short-term FM frequencies and are in both the English and Urdu languages. Very best regards to all, and thank you for your recent email and EQSL. They were very much appreciated. Salam and warm greetings to you, Alan Gale from the UK, and please accept our appreciations to you for sending us this email and for all the details you just mentioned. Thank you very much for this great email, and you also may have a blessed and enjoyable Ramadan, and thank you for telling us your views about IRIB English radio programs. And that's great. A region, you said, nearby town of Oldham, of course, is broadcasting Radio Ramadan, and that's good. That's great. And as you said, it's short-term FM frequencies that are both in English and Urdu languages. That's good. So, Alan Gale from the UK, wish you all the best. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card as a confirmation. Write to us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. So here we reach to the end of our program, this week's actually listeners special. But before saying goodbye, again, I sent my appreciations to our great listeners, including Toshiki Tsuboi from Japan, Muhammad Khaku from the U.S., Madhab Chandra Sugur from India, Bill McDevitt from the U.S., Alan Gale from the UK for sending us emails. And also, I do extend my gratitude to those of our listeners who have sent us reception reports, including Olaf Ratovara from Finland, Ding Lu from China, and Kurt Ettlinger from Germany. As you know, tonight might be the night of Qadr or the night of ordainment. The night of Qadr is the night of mercy, goodness, and blessing till the rising of dawn. It is the best night of the year. According to narrations, the earth is filled with angels, and the fate of all creatures is determined for the next year. Please pray for us, and may God accept all our prayers and all our wishes. Many thanks for being with us. Wish you all the best. Goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pastoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com /pasttodayenglish. Thank you all.
Not everyone is able to understand or appreciate the spirituality of this most precious of nights. Laylatul Qadr gives us this valuable opportunity, and how excellent if we act as a true servant of the Lord Most High with our prayers and worship.
City of Al-Quds, the jewel of the Islamic world. In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. In this program, we shall discuss the effect of Iran's Islamic revolution on the Palestinian people's struggle to liberate their homeland. Stay with us, please. The last Friday of the blessed month of Ramadan is an opportunity for all Muslims and freedom-seeking peoples of the world to show their support for the oppressed Palestinians and not allow the genocide and aggression against the Palestinian people to be forgotten. From the point of the view of the founder of the Islamic Republic and the great leader of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, the Zionist regime symbolizes arrogance and racial prejudice and injustice. Quds Day doesn't just belong to Palestine. It belongs to the entire Islamic Ummah. We see truth against falsehood and justice against oppression on Quds Day. From the point of view of the Imam, Quds Day is the day when all Islamic countries should show their support for Islam and Muslims. Quds Day is a day of revelation, when the crimes of the United States and its allies should be revealed, and Islam should be revived. Quds Day is the day when shouts of Muslims against the cancer of Zionism should be heard. The founder of the Islamic Republic named Quds Day as the day of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, and the day when truth separates from falsehood. From the point of view of the Imam, this is the day when all Islamic countries should be mobilized, and it is the day when the rights of all oppressed nations should be rejuvenated and revived. According to the Imam, the only way to liberate the occupied city of Al-Quds is through a return to genuine Islam, spiritualism, and reliance on God. The late Imam rejected completely any sort of agreement or compromise with the colonialist powers, saying the only way to tackle their greed is to fight them. The Imam also urged all Islamic countries to provide all assistance to the Palestinians, including financial, material, and spiritual support. According to Imam Khomeini, lack of self-belief and self-confidence is the key to the poor performance of nations who take on superpowers. The Imam urged all countries to use Iran as a role model, to believe in themselves, and to stand firm against the colonial powers. He also urged all Muslim countries to take part in the rallies and marches of World Quds Day, making sure that these marches and rallies are fully observed. Imam Khomeini, astutely and with foresight, only 6 months after the victory of the Islamic Revolution, declared the last Friday of the blessed month of Ramadan as World Quds Day, so that all Muslims and freedom-seeking nations of this world can call for the liberation of Al-Quds and show their support for the oppressed Palestinians. Following the victory of the Islamic Revolution in 1979, the scandalous Camp David Accord between the fake Israeli regime, Egypt, and the United States was signed in the U.S. The leadership of the Israeli regime and its backers knew very well that killing of Palestinians alone was not enough to ensure Zionist domination of Palestine. In order to dash the hopes of Palestinians and dishearten them, the Zionists needed to reach an accord with various Arab regimes. Egypt was the first Arab country to officially recognize the Tel Aviv regime and put its signature to the shameful Camp David Accord. After the fake Zionist regime was established on Palestinian soil on May 15, 1948, several wars took place between this regime and surrounding Arab states, the most important of which were the 1948 war, which started just one day after the establishment of Israel, the 1967 war, also known as the Six-Day War, and the 1973 war, also known as the Ramadan War. From 1970s onwards, the United States made many parallel efforts to sign compromise agreements between the Israeli regime and various Arab states. The main purpose of all these efforts was to impart legitimacy to the occupying usurper Tel Aviv regime. The UN Security Council issued Resolution 242 in 1967 following the Six-Day War. Then, in October 1969, the U.S. Secretary of State, at the time William Rogers, presented a series of proposals for peace in the Middle East to Egypt, Jordan, the Zionist regime, and the former Soviet Union. These proposals eventually became known as the Rogers Peace Plan and included a 90-day ceasefire plan and retreat of the Israeli army to the 1967 borders. The Rogers Peace Plan was based on UN Security Council Resolution 242 and was worded in such a way that its acceptance meant de facto recognition of the Israeli regime. The Zionist regime refused to enter into peace negotiations with Egypt according to the Rogers Peace Plan so long as Gamal Abdel Nasser was in charge in Egypt. During Nasser's time as leader of Egypt, no peace agreement was signed between that country and the Zionist regime. After Gamal Abdel Nasser's demise, the situation changed significantly. With coming to power of Anwar Sadat, the policies of Egyptian government began to change dramatically. Sadat introduced two major changes to Egyptian foreign policy. First was peace with Israel, and second was a shift away from the former Soviet Union and a move closer to the Western Bloc. After the October 1973 war, the United States realized that it was no longer advisable to ignore the role of Arab regimes and to came up with many different so-called peace proposals. It also put pressure on the Zionist regime to reach a compromise agreement with surrounding Arab states. Eventually, after a flurry of diplomatic activity and shuttling back and forth after the October 1973 war, Henry Kissinger and Jimmy Carter persuaded Anwar Sadat of Egypt and Menachem Begin of the Zionist regime to sign the scandalous Camp David Accord on March 26, 1979. The agreement was negotiated in September 1978 at Camp David in Maryland, United States. The main shortcoming of the Camp David Accord and its main failing was the lack of settlement of the Israeli-Palestinian issue. The agreement did not comprehensively settle the Arab-Israeli dispute, and it led to a separate peace agreement between Egypt and the Zionist regime. Crucially, the West Bank of the River Jordan, the Gaza Strip, and the Golan Heights all remained under Israeli occupation and control. There were serious consequences for Egypt, which had unwisely signed up to the accord. Egypt became isolated from the Arab world, and it was treated as a pariah state by other Arab countries. The Israeli regime thus gained a free hand to do what it wanted in the region. The Camp David Accord effectively gave the Zionist regime a green light to attack southern Lebanon, to attack Syria, and to forcefully suppress various armed Palestinian groups. The accord allowed Israel to do what it wanted. But an important point to note is that the Camp David Accord was signed just as the Islamic Revolution in Iran triumphed. The Islamic Revolution changed forever many of the accepted political equations in the region and beyond. It became a role model to many liberation movements around the world, including the Palestinian Liberation Movement. Effectively, the Islamic Revolution in Iran introduced a new variable into the Palestinian problem, and that was resistance and an absolute refusal to bow to the Israeli regime no matter what. Profound political changes dawned in the occupied Palestinian lands. The fact that the Camp David Accord coincided with the revolutionary struggles of the Iranian people resulted in a wave of anger among Muslim revolutionary groups. In the early 1980s, two new organizations came into existence, namely Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad Movement. Both organizations were inspired by genuine Islam. And both their strategies and objectives were inspired by Islam. Thus, a new round of fighting against the Zionist regime started. The resistance movement, Hamas, was closer to the Muslim Brotherhood. But the Palestinian Islamic Jihad movement was longing for a serious fight, a well-thought through, well-planned armed struggle against the Zionist regime. It turned to genuine Islam to achieve its goals. The Islamic Jihad movement had given up on socialist ideas and nationalist ideas of groups like the Palestinian Liberation Organization, PLO, and had differences with the Islamic Brotherhood movement. The Palestinian Islamic Jihad movement, relying as it did on Islamic principles and faith in God, started a new chapter in the fight against the usurper Zionist regime. The Palestinian Islamic Jihad movement was founded in 1980 by two Palestinian fighters, namely Martar Fati Shiqaqi and Abdul Aziz Odeh. Martar Fati Shiqaqi initially started off as an Arab nationalist and then switched to Muslim Brotherhood, but he saw both of these ideologies defeated on the battleground in the fight against the Zionist regime. This is why he decided to place Iran's Islamic Revolution as his role model And he also viewed the founder of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, as his role model. A little bit after the victory of the Islamic Revolution, Fatih Shaqaqi published a book, Khomeini, the Only Islamic Solution and Role Model. The book treats the Palestinian issue as an Islamic issue and not as an Arab issue or as an ethnic issue. This is in accordance with Imam Khomeini's point of view. A passage from the book reads, just as Imam Khomeini gave meaning to the lives and struggles of Iranians, he also gave meaning to the lives of Palestinians, and he revived hope in our hearts. With the victory of the Islamic Revolution in Iran, we realized that the United States and Israel both could be defeated. We were inspired by the Islamic Revolution. With inspiration from Islam, miracles could come true. Thus, we regard Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, as one of the eternal leaders of Islam.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa. And FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is a part of the speech delivered on April 12, 2022 by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with the government officials of the Islamic Republic. Another kind of repentance is for the sins that are related to the abandonment of an obligation. It is not something that we did, rather it is something that we should have done, but we did not. My dear ones, many of us are afflicted with the last case. We should have done certain things, said things, taken some action, signed a paper, but we did not as a result of laziness, idleness and indifference towards our duty. This is a sin and we will be questioned for that. Therefore, in supplication of Makarim al-Akhlaq, it is said, help me do things for which you will question me in the hereafter. One of the things which I have sometimes discussed and which is a moving lesson for the Holy Quran is the story of Prophet Yunus, peace and greetings be upon him. He was a great divine prophet. And remember, the Noon, when he departed in wrath, well, why was he angry? Because his people did not become believers. They did not listen to whatever he said for years. I do not know how many years. He invited them to God for many years, but it did not work, and thus he became angry and left them.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
If we compare it to the abandonment of obligations that he likes for us commit, this seems no big matter. But God the Exalted questions this as well. He imagined that we had no power over him. Verse 87, chapter 21. He thought that God would not be strict with him, but God was strict with him. The reason was that he left. Elsewhere in the Holy Quran, God says, had it not been that he repented and glorified God, he would certainly have remained inside the whale till the day of resurrection. Chapter 37, verses 147 to 144. Look how important it is. If he had not glorified God, had not supplicated and had not said, glory to you, I was indeed wrong, he would have remained inside the whale until the day of judgment. There is a good news in the following part of the verse. There is no God but you. Glory to you. I was indeed wrong. So we listened to him and delivered him from distress. And thus we deliver those who have faith. Chapter 21, verses 87 to 88.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.